debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here's my favorite rant for the day, excerpted from our podcast, which you can find over at TomHartmann.com.
Welcome back. The chief of police in Philadelphia, and I don't know if he's updated his position since Starbucks has come out and apologized profusely, and now the CEO says that he looks forward to apologizing to these two men in person. Apparently, two guys who were in the real estate business, several of the articles I said characterized them as realtors, were sitting in Starbucks waiting for a third person to show up so that they could all order something and have their meeting. And one of them went up and asked to use the bathroom, and the person said, you can't use the bathroom until you order something. And so he was okay, and he went back and sat down. And then the manager came over and said to these people, you guys haven't ordered anything, you're trespassing, you can't be here. And they're like, we're waiting for our friend to show up. And she's like, no, you got to go. And so the Philadelphia police came and hauled them off in handcuffs as their friend arrived. And now, the big catch on all this that I haven't mentioned yet, but I'm sure you already realize, because since this story has pretty much made the national news, is that the two guys who were waiting for their friend were black, and the store manager was white, and most of the customers at the store were white. There is this story that is told by white people to white people, by and large. It's by our culture to white people. This is a story that has rooted in 400 years of slavery, in the racial policies of the Woodrow Wilson administration and Hitler's Nazis. The idea that there are superior and inferior races. And of course, Hitler took that to even be like, among white people, there are, it's inferior and superior and all this kind of stuff. And just the whole thing, the amount of melanin in a person's skin is attached to a collection of genes that have absolutely nothing to do with intelligence or morality or disposition or anything. It's a part of the genome that has to do with skin or hair or facial features. I mean, this stuff, these parts of our genetic makeup, yeah, it is. I mean, there is some reality to the notion that really smart people tend to have really smart kids, but not always. And in fact, probably one of the biggest variables is that they raise those kids in a stimulus-rich environment. Poverty is the biggest factor here. It's got I was going to say it's got nothing to do with the race, but obviously it does. It's poverty is a construct. Poverty is something that we construct in our society, and we essentially decide who we're going to inflict poverty on, and who we're not going to inflict poverty on. And so, you know, you get these situations where a poor person, a poor child, regardless of race, a poor child may hear, you know, fewer than it's been 20 years since I had these numbers, so I'm sorry I don't remember the exact numbers. In fact, I'm not even going to try to approximate them, but there's the number of unique words that a person is exposed to in childhood is going to a large extent, define not only their vocabulary, but their ability to use that vocabulary as an adult, which is something that gets measured on intelligence tests. So you could see a 10-point difference in IQ simply by exposing a child to a large vocabulary. And something that for many poor families just doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen in part because they weren't exposed to that vocabulary. And it doesn't happen in part because they're not around a parent because they're working three jobs. So, you know, there are systemic issues here, but there are no racial issues. And we have constructed this thing. And you've got, I mean, I remember as a kid the racist cartoons even. There is this whole thing that we have constructed as a society that basically says to white people that black people are scary or inferior. And I remember Dick Gregory talking with me about this one time when we were flying to Germany together, and he was like, can you believe it? It's like, you know, white people are saying that black people aren't as good as they are, but they're a heck of a lot stronger, so they must be superior. Or, you know, if a black person and a white person have a baby, is that baby white or black? And if that baby has a baby with another white person, is that baby white or black? It's like blackness goes down through generations. That sounds like superiority to me, he said to me, or words to that effect. And of course, he wasn't being literal. He was talking about our cultural constructs, and the absurdity of them. So here we get these two guys who were, you know, this according to Ross's explanation, the two men who have been only identified thus far as area realtors. This is from Think Progress, Zach Ford. Were arrested for the crime of waiting in a Starbucks for their friend to arrive. I mean, how many times have you walked into a restaurant and said, you know, I'd like to sit here and wait while my friends arrive? How many times have you been in a Starbucks? I mean, when we lived in D.C., there was a Starbucks three blocks down from us. And I would frequently meet people there or at Albon Payne or at Pret. I mean, there's a number of fast food places around, too, if we wanted to get food. And, you know, they wouldn't always eat something. I didn't always eat something. You know, this is just absurd. And Starbucks gets this. Starbucks is like, you know, having a real problem with the publicity around this. Melissa DePino, who was there and was interviewed by The Root, tweeted, the police were called because these men hadn't ordered anything. They were waiting for a friend to show up as they were taken out in handcuffs for doing nothing. All the other white people are wondering why it's never happened to us when we do the same thing. She's a regular customer at that particular Starbucks, and she recorded the arrest. That recording went viral. The employee who demanded the men leave was white. Melissa also confirmed that many others in the store had been sitting there for hours without purchasing anything. So how do we fix this? I mean, the theory, and that's, by the way, just half the story. Here's another one. This is Travis Geddes over at rawstory.com. Black teenager was nearly shot and killed by a racist homeowner after missing his bus and trying to ask a neighbor for directions. Brennan Walker overslept Thursday morning and missed his bus, so he started walking the bus route from his family's home to Rochester High School. The 14-year-old's mom had taken his phone away, so he wasn't able to check for directions, so the boy knocked on a stranger's door to ask for help. Brennan told the TV station, I go to the house and I knock on the lady's door, and then she starts yelling at me, and she was like, why are you trying to break into my house? I was trying to explain to her I was trying to get directions to Rochester High, and she kept yelling at me. Then the guy came downstairs and he grabbed a gun. I saw it and started to run, and that's when I heard the gunshot. So this guy fired a shotgun at this, like, 14-year-old. Not like, he is a 14-year-old. The shot missed the fleeing teen, and John Brennan said he kept running until he found a hiding place, and that's when he broke down crying. His father, by the way, is deployed to Syria. This teenager, who some hysterical white person took a shot at because he came to her house asking for directions to his high school. There's something fundamentally wrong here with this. There's something extremely fundamentally wrong here with this. And I want to get into my thoughts on this and yours as well. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. What do we do? How do we build a society? How do we build a society where people feel safe, regardless of how much melanin they have in their skin? Right? How do we build a society? You know, we are more segregated now than in the 1960s. What do we do about this?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We used to think that integration was going to be the solution. People would get to know each other. It hasn't worked out. What do we do? Great show today. We start out with a debate. When people are hungry, do you really want to impose morality on them? Or who even calls that morality? Forcing, you know, you must have a work requirement before you can get food. Little 10-year-old Johnny. How do we train white people not to fear black people? This incident in Starbucks, the latest wake-up, and the GOP tax scam. Check it out, the commercial-free podcast at TomHartman.com, and then clips of the show here on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook.